Can you kind of put this all together? I kind of want to take that, what you've just gone through, kind of as the base of some of the key research that's been done, and track out both what that means in terms of clinical practice and what it means in terms of the next generation of clinical trials. Let's talk about clinical practice. What's your own personal algorithm in terms of first, second, third line therapy selection of patients, and what do you consider sort of acceptable alternatives?
In the late 1990s, we did an analysis of prognostic factors for patients with renal cell cancer to see if we can group patients according to prognosis. And the purpose for this was to help facilitate clinical trial design and interpretation. The analysis was initially done on 670 patients that were treated at our center with various histologies, and it was later refined to an analysis on about 480 patients treated with interferon. We found five different risk factors that predicted outcome, and the patients were grouped according to these risk factors into favorable, intermediate, and poor risk. The risk factors included calcium level, lactate dehydrogenase level, performance status, and time from initial diagnosis to start a therapy. And historically, the patients that had zero risk factors, the favorable risk group, had a median survival of about 29 months. Patients with one or two risk factors were considered intermediate risk, and their median survival was close to 20 months. And the poor risk group had three or more risk factors, and their average survival was on the order of 6 months. So with the studies of the new targeted therapies, these risk factors were incorporated into the trials and are important in the new paradigm for treating renal cell carcinoma. Both the sunitinib and the temsirolimus studies were conducted in untreated patients.